Welcome to another episode of the Indie Film Hustle Podcast, episode number 7. A director makes 100 decisions an hour. If you don't know how to make the right decision, you're not a director. George Lucas.
Broadcasting from the back alley in Hollywood, it's the Indie Film Hustle Podcast, where we show you how to survive and thrive as an indie filmmaker in the jungles of the film biz. And here's your host, Alex Ferrari.
Welcome, guys. Welcome. To another great episode of the Indie Film Hustle Podcast. I wanted to thank you guys for all the downloads you guys and the subscriptions that I've been getting on iTunes. It's been kind of crazy how many people have been downloading our little podcast here. And we actually got our first two reviews on iTunes, which I wanted to give a shout out to Kyle Genst. I hope I'm not killing it, Kyle. Let me read your review. Being a DP coming from a commercial and documentary work, listening to this podcast has helped me think about certain things I normally would not have. Great information, only totally worth the time. I recommend it to any indie filmmaker. They are short, sweet, and to the point. Thank you so much, Kyle. And my second review was from my main man, Jason Buff, over at the Indie Film Academy podcast. I really enjoy the IFH podcast. Alec definitely has a lot of great information, and he knows what he's talking about. Thank you, Jason. And if you guys want to listen to a great, another great indie podcast, head over to Indie Film Academy, a podcast. They have a really good podcast as well. Now, if you guys are like me, you have no time to read any books. And I love reading books, but with all the craziness of my life and family time, it's very, very rare to sit down and read a book. So what I do is a lot of audiobooks. So what we're going to be doing here on the Indie Film Hustle podcast is giving you guys a treat. You're going to get one free audiobook. Head over to freefilmbook.com. That's freefilmbook.com. And you can get you can download one free audiobook, any one you like. I like their film books because it, you know, keeps me up to date with all the cool film books that are out there. But if you like narrative, if you like self-help, anything, it's all there for you. Just go over and use our special URL, freefilmbook.com. So today we have a great treat for you guys. You're going to be listening to an interview with Dove Simmons. Dove Simmons has been called America's greatest film teacher. He actually taught Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino took his course prior to making Reservoir Dogs. And Quentin actually said, I took his course. It was awesome. I made Reservoir Dogs right after. So along with other notables like Will Smith, Damon Wayans, I think Chris Nolan, a bunch of people took his course. It's a kind of prerequisite here in Hollywood and around the world. And Dove's been doing this since the late 80s. And he comes from a really kind of, you know, kind of like what Indie Film Hustle is about, you know, straight from the kind of street, from the real action, the trenches, if you will. He worked with legendary film producer Roger Corman for many years, where he picked up a lot of his tricks of the trade. And his technique for his two-day film school, he trademarked a two-day film school. And I also took it as well years ago before I made Broken. So I know firsthand how amazing his course is. He really just kind of gets into your face and tells you what the realities of the film business are, how to actually make a movie. He doesn't teach creative. He doesn't teach any of that stuff. He teaches you the nuts and bolts of making a movie. And his technique is very entertaining, to say the least. He was generous enough to do an interview for us. So without further ado, here is Dove Simmons, guys. So, Dove, are you there? Can you welcome?
Yes, Alex, and thank you very much for introducing me to all your members at IndieFilmHustle.com. Hi, guys. Hello, filmmakers. Hello, writers. Hello, directors.
Thank you, man. Thank you. So, the listeners know, I actually took Dove's course about 15 years ago. So I was still a little wet behind the ears back then, and his course was monumental in my formation as a filmmaker. Right after I did it, I shot my first short film that went on to do a lot of different things for me and kind of launched my career. So it's a big, big thrill having you on the show, Dove, and to speak to you. So again, thank you so much for doing the show.
Alex, thank you. You're welcome very much also. Let's carry on.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. You got your start in the film industry with Roger Corman. Is that correct?
Yes, a little bit before him. I was about 2 years before I met him. I was naive and romantic, came to Hollywood, thought I saw movies, thought I could do better, never really realized, you know, this place called Hollywood, they know what they're doing. They're in the business of making money and it's corporations. And I came romantic and naive. I had a lot of ideas, but nobody owns an idea. I chased the deal. It didn't happen. Then out of necessity, in order to pay rent, I became what's called an independent reader. And over 2 years, I read probably about 2,000 screenplays and did what's called coverage. In those days, I was paid $25 to $35 to read a script and do a two-page book report analysis on it. And while doing that, then I stumbled into doing a no-budget commercial. Then I stumbled into a one-day shoot with somebody that was hired by Roger Corman. Then a month later, I did a weekend shoot for him and actually got a check for $200. Then I did a one-week shoot as a production manager. Then a three-week shoot. This is over 6 months to 1 year.
Okay.
And then I eventually became what's called a line producer for Roger Corman. So glamorously, I can say I was in the script development business, and I read 2,000 scripts and did coverage on them, but paid $25 to $35 each. And I was a line producer for Roger Corman. Sounds exotic. And it by the way, it is.
It is.
So I've read scripts, and then I stumbled into working for Roger as a production manager, and he allowed me to have a nicer title on the next shoot, but he didn't give me any more money. And he allowed me to be called a line producer, which is nothing but a production manager, on the next shoot. And during that time, I stumbled into doing a teaching gig at UCLA. Then 6 months later, USC asked me to do the class, then NYU, and I stumbled into teaching. Nobody plans on being a film instructor. We're all usually a bunch of failures who tried producing, writing, and directing. Everybody knows the saying, those that can do, and those that can't teach. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a great producer. I want to be a great director. I still want to be, but I really don't have the talent. But I have enough experience. And I stumbled into teaching. And I found out, I'm a very good communicator, teacher. And I have the sound bites of this mysterious industry that is called a business. It's called show business. It's not called show art. And then I just started informing people that have the passion, have the desire, have the talent, but need some structure. And I gave that to them, hopefully. God bless. I don't know if I answered the question. I rambled.
It's okay. So you did start with Roger. Now, can I ask you a question? Because I've studied Roger Corman and all his work, and he's launched, I mean, many film careers, monster film careers in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. What did you learn going through the Corman Film School? I know a few people who've actually gone through it as well, some crew members, DPs and so on that went through it as well, did projects with Roger. What did you learn about that kind of crazy filmmaking process that he goes through?
One, it's a business. Two, get it done. Don't make it great.
That's it? Awesome.
That's it.
That's it.
It's a business. Mm-hmm. Now get it done. And get it done means you only have enough money for 1, 2, or 3 week shoot. At the most, a 3 week shoot. Mm-hmm. A 90-page script. One location. Roger jokingly says, but it's correct, when you don't know what you're doing, your first feature film, take 8 kids to a house and chop them up. That's a 90-page script, 8 kids, 1 house. Wait a second. Yeah. 1 house. Take your 8 actors to 1 house. That's a stage play. Oh, that's easy to do. No props, no location moves, no exterior night. Roger also said, if he ever sees the two words exterior night in a script, he throws the script out. Don't try to shoot anything exterior night with no turnaround. So, Roger, it's business. Get it done. Sell the poster. Call it a $1 million feature, but I never saw more than $150,000 to make one. But he calls it a $1 million feature. And then he goes to a film market, not a film festival. and he, at a market, he licenses it, sells it to Italy, Germany, Japan, Korea, Ecuador, Brazil, Hong Kong, China, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Australia, New Zealand. When you make a feature film that is genre-oriented and visual-oriented...
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now, back to the show.
And it's made in America with American teenagers, American people in American jeans, with American Ray-Bans, in an American house, an American car. You can do, even though it might be poor acting, it's a genre, you can do 35 sales at a film market at ballpark $10,000 to $60,000 per nation. So let's talk business.
Yeah.
Roger states he just made a $1 million feature. However, I'm the line producer. I only spent $150,000 to make it, and I stopped trying to figure out where the other $850,000 goes to. So he made a $1 million feature. That's what he calls it. But he spent $150,000. Then at a film market, he does 35 sales at an average price of $20,000 to $30,000 per nation. Do the math. That means he made a profit.
Of course.
And then he comes back next year with part two and part three. And if they make profits, then next year he does part four and part five. And what he said is, if you want to do art dub, you want to send a message, call Western Union. I'm not in the message business. I'm in the business of renting seats and selling sugar. That's the movie business.
Now, that movie business has changed a bit as far as distribution.
Well, now it's gotten better and better with social media and on-demand and all these platforms. There are about 20 on-demand platforms. So maybe you, as the one, not you, Alex, sure, specifically, sure. But your audience, you have two choices, audience, actually three. Make your no-budget, micro-budget, ultra-low-budget feature. Go get your two iPhones. Do it again. And let's see if you can get into Sundance, Toronto, Telluride, Cannes, or Berlin. Any other festivals are useless. And if you can get into one of them, nowhere near a guarantee, that is marketable. You will get a distributor that will probably offer you $200,000, $1 million to walk away. That's one game plan. A second game plan is do it, but go more not for dialogue, story, and plot point. Go more for the poster and the genre. And then you take it yourself to Cannes, not the film festival, the market, or AFM. Book a room. That'll cost you $20,000 to $40,000 to do sales. And let's see how good a salesman you are to Italy, Germany, Japan, Korea. And do it yourself, or get a foreign distributor and a producer's rep to do it for you. But they're the middlemen, and you're going to see some creative bookkeeping. And the third way is the one that has just started really becoming real about 2 years ago, is because of social media and all these different on-demand platforms, being subscription on-demand, transactional on-demand, or ad support on-demand, you yourself, never mind going theatrical, never mind trying to make a print and put it in theaters, never mind billboards and newspaper ads, never mind even foreign sale. Let's just go on the internet and do it that way and cut out the middleman. And you want to call it the old word of self-distribution? I'll call it be your own distributor through the internet.
Now, and do you suggest that filmmakers build their communities to be able to sell, like build a community to be able to sell directly to them, like, you know, to make a VHX or a Vimeo Pro on demand or even YouTube on demand or any of that kind of stuff? Do you suggest that they try to build a community of some sort to be able to start selling more and
all
more
good,
product?
All good. Yes. But let's talk the magnitude of building a community.
Okay.
In it, not just a couple little Facebook friends.
Of course.
We're talking about get 200,000 to 2 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, absolutely. Absolutely. Other than that, it's just a nice exercise.
Got it. Yeah, because out of 200,000, if 500 people, 1,000 people buy your film at a certain price point.
Either rent it, download it, $2, sure. $4, whatever. Mm-hmm. There it is. Then go knock another one out next week.
And so
then
on.
Then go
so
knock
on.
Another one out next week. Then you're going to build your database. You're going to build your community. Absolutely. Yes, build a community, but be realistic about what quantifies a mm-hmm. community. Right. 500 friends yeah. is not a community. That's barely a neighborhood.
Exactly. So let me ask you, why did you start doing the two-day film school?
I had to pay rent.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's hard for me to talk about me because then it comes out of ego, but I'm proud of being brutally honest or straight.
Yes, you are.
And out of necessity, I wanted to be a big producer. I wanted to be a big director, mm-hmm. but then I've had a wife and children. I had to pay rent. So first is reading two scripts a night for coverage at $25 to $35 and four scripts on the weekend. Then getting some production managing nickel dime jobs with Roger. Then getting a gig at UCLA.
Right.
Then they paid me only $250 for the first teaching gig for a day at UCLA. Then USC offered me $2,000 for a two-day class. Ooh.
Yeah, not bad.
That's like 40 scripts reading. That's 80 scripts reading.
Sure.
Then NYU in New York offered me $5,000 for a weekend class.
Oh, wow.
A coach ticket and staying at a cheap hotel in Manhattan. But then I stumbled into somebody, and I did each of those schools. I did it about 4 or 6 times. This is over a 3-year period. Mm-hmm. And during the time I'm finding out, do you know I like teaching? Mm-hmm. Do you know I actually have the information from the School of Hard Knocks? And the ability to put it in sound bites that first timers understand, where I don't say the romantic things like you got to have heart, you got to have passion, you got to have talent, you got to believe in yourself, and here, go take an exotic class on lighting. Lighting will kill you on your first feature film. Mm-hmm. Your first feature film, you got enough money at the most for a 3-week shoot. Maybe it's micro budget, no budget, a 1-week shoot. So a 3-week shoot is 18 shooting days. You have a 90-page screenplay. So you have a shooting schedule of 5 pages per day. You only have about 12 hours of daylight in a day, 1 hour to get there, get set up, 1 hour for lunch. So in 10 hours of shooting, by the way, would you like good production value or coverage? Then each page or scene, you should shoot it with about 6 angles. The master shot, 2 over-the-shoulder reverse angle medium shots, 3 or 4 close-up cutaways, and a close-up of the actor's action. That's about 6 setups. So if you're getting 5 pages and 6 setups, that's 30 setups. So getting 30 setups in 10 hours, that's 600 minutes, you have 20 minutes per shot. Now pick up the camera, move, find your new place, set it down. Now get the actor, block him, put him in the right frame, compose it properly, let him read the one page scene through 2 or 3 times with the 2 or 3 actors. You have now run out of time. Don't even think about lighting.
Makes sense.
There's no time. Mm-hmm. Okay, go to USC Film School. You're going to look at all these beautiful movies. And you're going to think, I want that to look like. Then go get $10 million. Which you're not going to get for your first, second, or third feature. Anyway, you see what I do? Well, I know you know what I do.
Yeah, sure.
Let's get real. I break it down in real. I do a 2-day film school. Day one, I teach how to make your first independent feature. Independent means get your own money. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to hear about studio financing. You're not going to hear about government funding programs. You're not going to hear about product placement. You're not going to hear about cans and pre-selling and international co-production. That's not independent financing. Mm-hmm. That's the Hollywood system. It's crowdfunding or it's legalized begging. And right. you're going to come up with $10,000 to at the absolute most $200,000 to make your first feature. So you better forget the idea that you have right now because you can't make it for minimal money. Now let's come up with the 90-page, one-location stage play. jokingly, Roger says, take eight kids to a house and chop them up. It's a stage play.
Right.
Put your idea that you have right now, ND Hustlers, that you have right now. I'm sure your idea is great. Get the script. Now put it aside for your second project. Now let's come up with a project, not a short, a feature film that will get you the credibility at a festival to get the financing for that project. And your first project is going to be a 90-page, one location, pretty close to a stage play. The Dinner from Hell, the class reunion, the courtroom drama. You'll figure out something creatively, everybody out there.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now, back to the show.
And you're going to have enough money for a 1, 2, or 3 week shoot. So on day one, I teach how to get the script. I teach how to do the shooting schedule. I teach your vendor and equipment deals, assuming you have $10,000 to $200,000. Mm-hmm. I show how to spend the money for a 1, 2, or 3 week shoot, but leave money left over for post, your picture edit, your sound edit, your ADR, your Foley, your musical score, and how to get your output right now going through a festival, your DCP, mm-hmm. and keeping $10,000 back for promotion and social media. For that one premiere at the festival, and better get into a major festival. 3,000 festivals in the world, 2,980 are useless.
Yes.
They're social, they're not useless, they're good social functions, they're parties, and everybody gets an award at every festival.
Yes.
Usually it's an invoice, but people call it an award.
Yes, very much so.
But what you've got to do is, of 3,000 festivals, why do you want to go to a festival? Everybody knows why. To sell your film, be discovered, get a distributor. Well, you're not going to sell your film going to the Columbus, Ohio Film Festival, because no distributors send their employees there. Of 3,000 festivals, the buyers, that are the technical phrase, are called the acquisition execs. You should do an article or a podcast on the acquisition execs, their names, and who are they.
Okay.
Because those are the ones that write the checks and buy, and nobody wants to seem to know their names. Where in my class, I go, here are their names, here are their emails, start blogging them, start blasting them out. And so of 3,000 festivals in the world, those 20 to 40 acquisition execs only go to about 12 festivals a year. Sundance, Toronto, Telluride, Cannes, Berlin, maybe AFI, maybe Los Angeles Independent Festival. So you got to get into one of those major festivals where the odds are very poor. And if you can get into one of the major festivals, now you're in. That's the key. Get into a major festival of 3,000. There are only 15 of them that mean anything. All the rest are nice social functions. There's nothing wrong with them, but you're not going to sell your film at them.
Very, very true. I've gone through many festivals myself, and I've seen a lot of filmmakers go to hundreds of festivals. At the end of the day, they're like, "Not are you? How's your career going? Is it moving forward or not?" And they generally not.
It's poker. It's a tough one because when you make your film, it's your baby.
Oh, yeah.
And you're so emotionally attached to it. And it is your baby. And you know how hard you worked. And I really believe anybody that makes a feature film, especially with no money, deserves an Oscar. Not an award, an Oscar. Never mind people that get Oscars when they're given all the money in the world and all these amazingly talented people. That's not tough. What's tough is to take the hardest thing anybody's going to do in the film industry ever is their first independent, micro-budget, no-budget feature film. You have little to no money. You don't know what you're doing. You will have relatively inexperienced people, most with attitudes because they went to film schools.
Very true.
And somehow you got to get this thing done. And everybody thinks it's supposed to be perfect. And I guarantee you, when you're writing the check and that your dad gave you the money, you're in a position of, I got to get it done. Mm-hmm. And somehow you got to get it done. And if you can get that done and get it into Sundance, Toronto, or Telluride or Cannes, you really are amazing. You really do have talent. And now you're going to get a lot more money for your second feature film, which is easier because now you know what you're doing. Now you have more money. Now you can afford to pay crew what they believe they're supposed to be paid, and they like the gig. It gets easier and easier and easier. The hardest thing to ever do is the first no-budget, micro-budget feature. And that's your community, Alex, and you're informing them the best you can from the experience that you have. God bless.
I appreciate it. So can I ask you a few more questions?
Of course.
All right. So you've discussed in online and also on your course, what are the four different kind of budgets? Can you kind of break down real quick what the four different budgets are?
Yeah. Mega budget, medium budget, low budget, and no budget. Let me qualify that. But those are the four.
Okay.
First off, let's get a reality check. Everybody in the world, when they say they're making a feature film, everybody always asks everybody, what's your budget? Where the correct answer is, it's none of your bloody business.
Right.
But it's amazing how everybody wants to know everybody else's budget. And 70 years ago in Hollywood, I'm sure the Hollywood executives found out that people are always asking them, what's your budget? Now, Hollywood gives out the budget. Wait, let's get a little common sense. Can you name me any other industry in the world that manufactures products where the manufacturer actually tells the consumer what it costs to make their product? No. Mm-hmm. Only the movie industry is the only industry in the world where they actually tell the consumer what it costs to make their product. Now let's have a little common sense and a moment of clarity. Hollywood, Warner Brothers, Paramount, 20th Century, Universal, Disney, Sony. When they tell you the budget, you think they tell you the truth?
Of course not.
What the budget is to make their movie is nobody's bloody business. But because people, A, want to know, and B, it seems to be a good marketing thing, they say the number. And my opinion is the number they say is probably 20 to 40 times bigger than what it really costs to make it. So a mega budget is a studio feature film where you're going to hear numbers like the budget is $100 million or $200 million. My opinion, it doesn't cost that. But my opinion is it's a very expensive movie, and nobody's going to make that for their first feature film, the mega budget feature. The next budget category is what I call the medium budget feature, which is when you're trying to finance something but not going directly to a studio. I call the medium budget features the two number budgets. When you ask somebody what's the budget and then they say two numbers, a range. Don't you think they know the exact number? What's the budget? Oh, the budget of my feature film is 2 to 3 million, 3 to 5 million, 5 to 7, 7 to 10, 10 to 12, 12 to 15, 15 to 20, 20 to 30. What do you mean? Don't you know the number? But isn't it amazing how many people say the budget or announce it and they say two numbers? That means it's not going to be a 100 million or 200 million studio feature film. So what they have to do is they say a number, they inflate it, then they stretch it. It's marketing. Mm-hmm. Now, a long time ago, I worked for Roger Corman. Remember what I said about 30 minutes ago? Mm-hmm. And I worked on what he would call million-dollar features, but as the line producer, I never saw more than 150,000. So basically, I believe most budgets have been inflated 600 to 1,000% when we start playing the let's market to the consumer game, because they don't even know how to rent a camera. And we're going to tell them how expensive it is. And the bigger the number we tell them, maybe a better chance of them coming to check it out. So the mega budget, 100 to $200 million feature, that's the studio feature. The medium budget, two number budget, 1 to 2 million, 2 to 3 million, 3 to 5 million, they're usually made for about 300 to 500,000 or 500 to 700,000, which is a lot of money for probably a 5-week shoot. But that money is usually raised at Cannes, not the Cannes Festival, the Cannes Market, mm-hmm. or AFM, or the European film market at Berlin, which is Berlin Festival is the Berlinale, but next door is the European film market. So the two number budgets are usually raised from foreign sales with product placement and maybe a government financing program put in. And you hear numbers like 2 to 3 million, 3 to 5, 5 to 7, 7 to 10, 10 to 12. The low budget is where I worked. Mm-hmm. For guys like Roger Corman at that time.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
Crown, Troma,
right?
Curb Entertainment,
Canon.
Canon, absolutely. The early days of Lionsgate, the million-dollar feature. But a million-dollar feature is not made for $1 million. If you actually have $1 million in cash and spent it to make it, and somebody asks you, what's the budget? Alex, I'm going to tell you, say, it's a $3 to $5 million feature. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to go to heaven, that's lying. If you want to go to heaven, you sneak in the words just under. So when you have $1 million to make a feature, and somebody asks you, what's the budget? And you want to go to heaven, but you want to make money, say the budget, oh, it's somewhere just under 5 to 7 million. Is $1 million just under 5 to 7 million?
Absolutely.
Oh, you're not lying. You're marketing. You're going to go to heaven. So the low budget features are usually 3-week shoots, non-guild, non-union, maybe SAG, with no movie names in it, maybe an over-the-hill television name. And they're million-dollar features, but they're made for about 200 to 300 thou, and they're pretty close to the one-location sort of genre stage play. Then the micro-budget are the true ones where your listeners and your community should really be thinking about going. That's, you want to call it the no-budget, the micro budget, the mini budget, the ultra low budget. It's ballpark between $10,000 and $100,000. Mm-hmm. A 1 or 2 week shoot. With you have $100,000, you can do a 1 week shoot with 2 4K reds. You got $10,000, forget about the red. Go down to 2 iPhones. You can do a 1 week shoot with 2 iPhones. What's the one that hit at Sundance?
Tangerine. Yeah, exactly.
So you asked me, what about budgets? Mega budget is when you're thinking about doing a studio feature. Don't think about that until your third or fourth feature film. Medium budget is usually pre-selling at Cannes once you have a track record. And think about that for your second or third feature film. And that's the two-number budget. Mm-hmm. The low budget is the million-dollar feature. You can get that either from crowdfunding or a small private placement, raising $200,000 to $300,000, offering 50%, not ownership, of profits. Big caveat, if there are any. And the micro budget feature is get your own money. Go get a job at Starbucks and save some money. Let's see how great and how much talent you have with the great script that takes place in one location. A 5 to 7 person crew, a 1 week shoot with a bunch of pizzas, burgers, and fries. And now let's see how good the actors are and how good your script is. And the camera will probably bounce all over the place. But the key in micro budget filmmaking is not the camera, it's the microphone. Mm-hmm. Make sure the audio is great. Everybody wants to read about a new camera and then read about a new app with a new lens. It's the audio. I don't care how great the script is and how great the acting and how great the props and great the wardrobe and great this and great that. If the audio is mediocre to poor, it stinks.
Yeah, they'll forgive a bad picture way before they forgive bad audio.
Yep. If the audio is poor, nobody cares. Nobody will listen to it. Nobody will hear it. That's it. So the four budgets. You got them, Alex?
I got them.
Mega?
I got them.
Medium, low, and micro. And where your audience should be focusing on is think micro and maybe low. Think crowdfunding equity, crowdfunding donations, or saving up $10,000 or $20,000 in a 1 week shoot, We're thinking about a private placement raising $200,000 to $300,000, but don't make a short to demonstrate your talent. That's going backwards when you're an adult. Find your cinematographer where you live that's a real cinematographer. He will have, or she will have, an 8 to 10 minute demo reel. You're going to use that demo reel to demonstrate your talent. Your talent was, look who I'm hiring. Look what he or she does. When you make your own short, it's going to look worse than the demo reel of that cinematographer. How about that one?
That's very good. That's actually really good advice.
Thank you.
Can you share some of the Hollywood's big lies? I know a lot of filmmakers are completely bewildered by the magic of Hollywood. What are just a couple of the big lies that you've talked about?
Well, the biggest lie is we're looking for talent.
We're looking for talent.
I love all those people saying we're looking for talent. No, we're not. We're looking for money. And we're looking for marketable names. If you think anybody out there thinks we're looking for talent, get on a plane, fly to LA, rent a car, drive over to Paramount, go to the gate guard, and when he says, hello, who are you? Say, I'm talent. I'm here. Who do I see? I heard on television you're looking for talent. Please tell them I'm here.
That's awesome. That is truly one of the big lies, no question about it.
And the next one is the budget is, and they tell you the budget.
Sure.
It's not your business. And stop asking people what's the budget. It's not your business. And when they tell you a number, it's going to be massively inflated to create a higher perceived value.
Exactly, or lower, it's either the most expensive movie of all time or the cheapest.
Either drive it up or drive it down, but the drive it down doesn't work anymore now that we got iPhones, Tangerine. What's the budget of your feature film? $82. Exactly. That's been used too many times already.
It's been beaten up a bit. Can you give
another Hollywood lie? Mm-hmm. We're looking for great scripts. Go to the movies.
Yeah.
Go look at Batman, Superman, Iron Man, Pizza Man, Burger Man. Are those great scripts?
No.
I'm not yelling at you, Alex.
I appreciate it. No, I believe me. I'm familiar with your style of teaching, sir. So it's no problem at all.
Carry on. Next question.
Sorry. Is there any advice you could give young filmmakers about publicity for their film, for their first film?
It's a new world for me. I'm not that educated with social media. But yes, you got to make your first feature film.
Got it.
90 pages, one location. And yes, get some sort of poster or billboard, but you're not going to print it and put it out on street corners. And now let's see how you do YouTube. Let's see what you do on a campaign that makes something go viral. Mm-hmm. Let's see how you get a curiosity factor. Let's see how you do Twitter. This is the new world. I'm 72. I know this world exists. It's not a gimmick. It is the real world. But I can't teach it because I'm not savvy enough.
Got it.
I know it's here. Yes, it's very important, especially when you're micro budget, ultra low budget, no budget, and you're doing things for $5,000 to $30,000. And we have all these on-demand platforms from the Hulus, from the Netflix, from the distributors, from the IndieFlix, from the Snag Films, etc. Mm-hmm. That if you can get the word out and have people more than the phrase, check me out.
Right.
Want to pay to see it, for be it microblogging, microcharging 59 cents each, mm-hmm. or $1 or $2, but you can make profits now. You can make profits. But the key is what you said, that I can't fake it. I don't know how to teach how to get the word out within social media. I know the phrase is Facebook. I know YouTube. Mm-hmm. I know social media. I know Twitter. But I'm not savvy enough of how to create campaigns for them.
Got it.
I know how to market to bring people to my class to sell my product, my DVD film school, mm-hmm. or my two-day film school, or on my website I have a streaming film school mm-hmm. that I charge only $89 for 20 hours. Mm-hmm. So I got to drive traffic to it.
Right.
So I know how to do a blog and how to send that out and how to get the blog onto every Facebook group. Mm-hmm. I've got about 140 Facebook groups I put it on. Then I'm on LinkedIn groups. They only allow you 40, so I put it there.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
Then I know how to do ads, sponsored links on Facebook mm-hmm. and Google, and buy keywords, and to target it properly. So my average click to my website cost me 28 cents.
Not bad.
No, I'm happy with it. I learned that. Mm-hmm. My conversion rate, though, for my landing pages, it's not that good. Mm-hmm. One out of 150 people that come to my landing page with the 28 cent click. Mm-hmm. Means it cost me about $45 to get one person to buy my product at $89 to $389.
Right.
I make a profit, but I think I can be more efficient at it, but that's what I'm doing. I think I just gave a class, by the way, to your listeners.
I think so too. Yeah, I'm. That's kind of like where I'm. That's my specialty, is that kind of creating landing pages and optimizing sites for SEO and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of where I came from. I actually came from post production originally, and I still do post production for the last 20 years. And that's how That's how I make my living, is post production and directing commercials and music videos. But then I started getting into.
I want to stop right now.
Yeah.
I want to applaud you.
Oh, thank you.
Number one, if you understand picture editing mm-hmm. and post-production, then if anybody out there is looking for a director, Alex is the person to hire.
I appreciate
that. You do not hire a stage director that knows how to talk to human beings, actors. I'm not saying that's not important. Mm-hmm. You want to hire somebody that knows, has learned from seeing how other directors screwed up. And editors are always, they don't tell anybody, but they always save the film.
It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And now color and editorial.
Knows how to, what the basic is of get a master, get two over-the-shoulder medium shots. Where is the B-roll or the cutaway roll or the close-up, or sometimes they call it the cat in the window shots, the close-ups. Mm-hmm. So Alex understands that. And he also understands the mechanical making of the film, which is post-production, mm-hmm. what the steps are, which are so important. Anyway, let's go back. IADD'd, Alex, you were saying?
I appreciate those comments.
I'm not blowing smoke. You're not giving me any money.
I know.
Anybody out there, Alex knows how to direct. Now you guys come up with 50 thou or 200 thou.
And I'm there.
Get the great script and call him up and he'll get it done for that money.
Actually being in post-production for so long and delivering full deliverables all the way through distribution, international distribution and everything, I've seen how the process runs in post-production and seen the soft underbelly of independent film doing this. And it's true. The whole movie is saved in post-production, either save or create.
I'm going to tell all your listeners right now. You want to break in? You want to be rich and famous? Okay, here's what you do. Make the first movie virtual reality.
Yeah.
Who's doing it? And never mind Oculus Rift. That's by far the best. Mm-hmm. Go for the cheap one. Go with the Samsung and the cardboard glasses. But do it in virtual reality. Who's doing the first movie? And the key is audio. Mm-hmm. How to do 360-degree sound.
Interesting. Actually, I have to do some more research on the virtual reality.
Do it!
Yeah.
Don't do research. Then you're too late.
So I just have a couple more questions for you, Duff.
Sure.
Why do you think the two-day film school has been so popular all these years? I mean, it's been around since the 80s, correct? 80s or 90s?
I think I did the first one after I did teaching at UCLA, then USC, then NYU. Then somebody in the class said, you know your acts together, bring it to Cincinnati, bring it to Portland.
And there you go.
Then I entrepreneured. Mm-hmm. That would have been about 89.
Gotcha.
So the 90s.
Got it.
So it's been successful because then there was such a void for film education for adults and professionals. Now there are so many people doing their variations, and very many of them are very good at it also. Mm-hmm. I've just been around long. I have the street experience. I have a little bit of an unusual personality, and I've learned the sound bites that people can understand, and I'm still an entrepreneur, and I truly, movies bore me. The movie business fascinates me.
Yeah.
And it's still business. And I teach, everybody who's out there is thinking art, and it is an art form. But I teach the business of making the art and the business of selling the art. And I think that sustains with my personality that delivers the products properly. And I stay abreast. I can explain product placement revenues now. Mm-hmm. I can explain the government programs, be it tax credits, assumable tax credits, reforms, rebates, which ones to go with and where the money is and what states have it. Then I can explain how to start tapping China. China is this 800-pound gorilla that is not going to go away. Mm-hmm. And it's just getting bigger and bigger, and et cetera, et cetera. So I stay abreast. I stay abreast of which right now virtual reality. Mm-hmm. Of how to make movies in virtual reality. Yes, everybody's thinking virtual reality gaming, it's absolutely perfect for it. And yes, there's going to be virtual reality for put something on a telescope and put it in outer space, and then every nation and city doing travelogues and the real estate people doing virtual reality for come and look at the $10 million house. But the key for us is virtual reality and movies, and the key is figuring out sound. The cameras are there with the 16 little, you know, the 16 little GoPros in little segments around the camera, 32 of them.
Right. That's,
the key is binaural sound and how to come up with a script in real time with binaural sound that has 10 people in a room. And when your eyes go to one person talking, you can also hear that one person talking.
Yeah, that's a challenge. That is a challenge.
Be the first to do it. Now, let's have one of your community do it. Just like somebody a year ago, Jason Blum is the contemporary genius. Mm-hmm. He funded a couple people with a couple of iPhones, and that was Tangerine.
Wow.
The next story is not going to be making movies with iPhones. It's been done and keep doing. It's now the next virtual reality movie.
Very cool. One more question. What is the future for independent filmmakers and the changing industry? Like, it's changed so much in the last 10 years. Where do you see it going forward?
There are two industries. There's the studio system. As long as the family stays together, on the weekend, kids got to get out of the house. Where are they going to go? The cheapest form of entertainment will always be movies. I don't know what a movie theater is going to look like 20 years from now, but kids are always going to have to get out of the house. And movies compared to live theater, music concerts, and sporting events are the cheapest form of entertainment. So movie theaters will always be there. Plus, by the way, kids, us parents, come weekends, want to get away from you, spoiled little brats. And the cheapest form of entertainment is the movie theater and the mall. So I believe movie theaters and malls will always be there. So I don't accept everything has changed. Mm-hmm. I will argue that forever. What I go is there's a new medium. The social media and the iPads and the on-demand. That's a new revenue stream. I go, it's a golden era. There's you can make something and hope to get into the theatrical demographics that it becomes a movie and then cash in from the other revenue streams. Or you can go for something directly for the on-demand platforms and know how to get the word out specifically within the social media and the community, as you mentioned, Alex, that you build up. Mm-hmm. So the old world is still there. It's not going anywhere. And it got bigger because of China. Mm-hmm. And there is a new world that is not replacing the old world.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now, back to the show.
It's an addition to.
Kind of like Rome. Rome still has the ancient buildings lying around, but there's very modern in many ways. So it's not replaced it completely, but they live hand in hand.
Now let's start though. Here's my formula. I did a blog yesterday on it. I posted it today. Mm-hmm. You want $200 million, make a $20 million feature, get your opening title credit, get it out there, and it makes money. And then the studios will line up to give you $200 million. But you got to start with $20 million. Alex, do you have $20 million in your pocket that you can write the check? I don't think so.
Not at the moment, sir.
So how do you get $20 million? You make a $2 million feature. How do you get $2 million?
Oh, you're. I lost you there, Dov.
Oh, yeah. How do you get $200 million? You make a $20 million feature that makes
money. Make sure, I'm losing you, Dov. Can you make sure your connection's in?
Oh, I put the mic down. Am I better now?
Yeah, you're there. You're better now.
That was me putting it across my body. I put the microphone. I covered it up. So how do you get $200 million? You make a $20 million feature that makes money. Wait, how do you get $20 million? You make a $2 million feature that makes money. Well, how do you get $2 million? You make a $200,000 feature that makes money, but you'll call it a $1 million feature. Well, how do you get $200,000? You make a $20,000 feature. And how do you get $20,000? You get a job. You save money. Do not go to NYU Film School. Do not go to USC or UCLA. Are they the best film schools in the world? Yes. Are they great? If your parents have $1 billion in equity. If not, it's not worth it. Take your money, go make a micro-budget feature. Take your money and learn screenwriting. Learn how to tell the amazing story that takes place in one room. 90 pages, one location. Then you'll come up with your iPhones, you'll cast unknowns, and now we'll see how much talent you really have. And it's just my heart talking. I believe that product will get out there. Mm-hmm. If you make it for $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, you'll probably make your money back. And now you started to get a game plan, a business plan. Start at the bottom. May Alex do a little commercial?
Yeah, that was the next thing. I'm like, so where can we find the 2-day film school, Dov?
This is going out.
You're breaking up, Dov.
So here it is. I better get it in quick. My website is webfilmschool.com. Webfilmschool.com. On there, you'll find my No Bull film blog. webfilmschool.com. On webfilmschool.com, I have a 20-hour streaming film school that you can get for $89 for 20 days or $149 for 60 days. Can you hear me, Alex?
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine. It's perfect.
Okay, thank you very much. Also, if you want to own it, I have it in a DVD format that I'll mail out. It's $249. It's 16 DVDs, 30 lessons, budgeting, scheduling, screenwriting, directing, cinematography, lighting, etc., marketing, distributing. And also, I do my 2-day class 3 times a year in New York, 3 times a year in LA, but I'm doing it 4 times in China, 4 times in Australia, Croatia, and a couple other nations. So, webfilmschool.com. You'll find me. You'll get my blog, and you'll hear my personality. And I believe, though, with my weird personality, I get you focused and give you the straight information. But what I can't teach is talent. It's so important. I don't know how to teach it. I know how to give you the nuts and bolts. I know how to demystify this mysterious industry so you go, oh, I know what to do. But you've got to do it with a work ethic, and you've got to do it with something I don't know how to teach, talent. I know it after I see it, but I can't teach it. I wish all of your community the best. I recommend to get your 90-page, one-location stage play and start with a micro-budget, one-week feature film. One-week feature. God bless. Happy filmmaking.
God, thank you, Dov, so much for being on the show. And guys, please go out and go to webfilmschool.com. It is awesome. I highly, highly recommend it. I've been actually promoting it on Indie Film Hustle since we launched Indie Film Hustle. Dov doesn't give me a dime for that. I do it just because I love him, and I love I love the kind of work that and the information's there, and it's so in your face and exactly what you need to hear. And there's no BS, there's no romanticizing, which a lot of people do. He gets straight to the point and tells you exactly what you need to do to make a movie. And like he says, he can't teach you talent, but he can teach you how to make it. So definitely head go over there. So Dov, thank you again so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And all you out there, you got 20,000 to 200,000 on the great script and want to hire a director, Alex will get it done. But if you're paying him nickel dime money, he better have an equity in it if he loves the script. God bless. Happy filmmaking, everybody.
So that was Dov Simmons, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know I did. It was a big treat talking to Dov. He is, as you can tell, a master at what he does. He's one of the first guys, actually the first guy, if I'm not mistaken, in the game of teaching filmmakers, independent filmmakers outside of film schools. So I really am a big fan of his and big fan of what he does. So you guys got to go check out webfilmschool.com where you can find his course. I would definitely take his course if you're going to be a filmmaker. It is awesome. It teaches you. It really is a two-day film school. Like, you come out of there and you really feel that you have a good grasp of how to make a movie, technically. Not the creative, not the cameras, not any of that stuff, but actually the nuts and bolts of making a movie. So definitely go check them out. And thanks again to Dov for being on the show. Now, if you want to get my 6 secrets to get into film festivals for cheap or free, head on over to filmfestivaltips.com. That's filmfestivaltips.com. I'll show you how I got into over 500 film festivals for cheap or free. And I only paid for a fraction of them. So I give you all my secrets on how I did it. That's filmfestivaltips.com. And again, guys, if you like the show, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. You have no idea how much that helps the show and helps us get to more and more independent filmmakers and spread the gospel that is Indie Film Hustle. So thanks again, guys, for listening, and I'll see you guys soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Indie Film Hustle podcast at IndieFilmHustle.com. That's IndieFilmHustle.com.